Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Chul, and it's a privilege and an honor, as always, to be able to be here. Here we are towards the end of the month of Sivan, the 26th of Sivan, the 2nd of July. I hope things are good for you. I hope that we are talking. I know I'm talking at you, but I hope it's talking with you. That's really what the Verbringen is about. Unfortunately, not unfortunate, there's nothing unfortunate about it, but in the radio format, it's more talking at, but feel free to be part of the conversation, 34519, or walk over to me at Moishi's, which is usually where I get all my feedback, both positive and negative. Oh, Rabbi, I recognized your voice. And I could always see the disappointment on their face when they put the face to the voice, like, oh, really, that's what you look like? But anyway, they walk over and give feedback, and it's really heartwarming. So, yeah, here we are. And today, kind of try to keep a more upbeat. In general, these last few sessions, last few radio shows, trying to keep a more upbeat energy. I believe that's the call of the hour. Bitochen and Amuna. That song was composed a few years ago, and it was inspired by Shalom Mordechai Rabashkin, the fellow who was put in prison in the United States for like 8 years, and finally was released in a miraculous way, Hanukkah 5 or 6 years ago. By President Trump, and it evoked an incredible amount of joy in the Jewish community. And really, his message was that bitachen and amuna. He calls it the Aleph Beis Gimel template, the Aleph Beis Gimel method, and that's emuna bitachon. Emuna's faith, bitachon is trust, and that leads to the gimel, the third letter, geula, redemption. The person needs to work on their emun and bitachon. And there's a great story that comes to mind on that, and it was a forming story in my own life. In other words, some stories you hear, all of us have heard thousands of stories in our lives and thousands of inspirational quotes, and some things stick with you and some things not necessarily because they're better or worse, but just that's what your soul needs to hear, or it hits you at a certain time in your life where the seed is ripe. You know, the earth is ripe for the seed, so you could throw a seed on a piece of earth, but if the earth hasn't been prepared to accept the seed and there's no watering to it, it's just going to decay and go nowhere, versus if you're ready for it. In general, life's messages, so many messages fall flat because we're not ready for that message, or because we haven't prepared ourselves for that message. And sometimes a message hits you at a place in life where you need it. So anyways, here's the story after that convoluted introduction. Goes like this. There was once a fellow, pious Jew, decent Jew, but unfortunately was very, very poor. And he had literally very little going for him. And he had a wealthy uncle, right? Everybody has that wealthy uncle, or everybody wishes they had the wealthy uncle. And his wife would always push him and say, come on, man, go to your uncle, go to your uncle. Right, so this fellow's name is Chatzkel. He has an uncle named Moishele, and Chatzkel doesn't feel comfortable with this. He's a soft-spoken guy. He hasn't met his uncle in 30 years. Suddenly he's going to come land on his uncle with, please help me. His wife's pressuring him. What is a man supposed to do? Fine. So his wife prepares a package of food and arranges a horse and wagon to take him to his wonderful uncle, so they could finally collect money and hopefully marry off his daughters with dowry, etc. As he's putting his foot on the wagon, suddenly gets very reflective, his eyes light up, walks off the wagon and walks back into the house. His wife obviously looks at him and says, Chatzkel, are you out of your marbles? I just spent months trying to convince you to go to your uncle, and I prepared your package, and I arranged you a horse and wagon. What do you mean you're not going? So he says, my dear, I know you really want me to go to my uncle, my wealthy uncle, but as I was walking onto the wagon, three big doubts came to my mind. Number one, how do I know if my uncle's still alive? I haven't heard of the guy in 30 years. Yes, 30 years ago, he was wealthy. How do I know he's alive? Second of all, he's obviously talking, this is a Talmudic tune, is how they study in Yeshiva. Second of all, even if he's alive, who says he has money? And third of all, even if he's alive and he has money, who says he wants to help me? So as I'm walking onto the wagon, it suddenly hits me, but 1 second. I could daven to Hashem. I could daven to the creator of heaven and earth. He's definitely alive. He's definitely wealthy. He has what to give, and he wants to give. You hear that? In Yiddish, it goes even better. Aber der Eibishter lebt, but God's alive. Und hat was zu geben, he has what to give. Und will geben, and he wants to give. And then I'll trust Hashem. So he decides to grow in his Torah learning and his mitzvahs, etc. His wife had to swallow some humble pie. It didn't look like her husband was up to negotiation. Not too long after, a few weeks later, the neighbor, the non-Jewish neighbor, Ivan, comes over and calls this lovely Jew, Chatzkel, over, and he says, hey, listen, Chatzkel, I know that you're an honest man. I live alone. I don't have a family. I have one kid who totally disowned me, and I disowned him. In the back of my house, I've hidden a huge chest of money that I've collected over my life. I have no one to give it to. If after 6 months I'm not back home, then it's yours. Nobody else knows about it. Enjoy it. Pretty cool package. So Chatzkel listens. For 6 months he doesn't touch them, doesn't go digging. Finally, 6 months later, Ivan never comes back. Chatzkel goes to the backyard of his neighbor, digs, and finds a huge, huge chest of golden coins. Doesn't know what to do. Do I use it? Do I not use it? So the story goes that he was a student of a great rabbi who lived at the time, who was known as the Halakha Rujiner, Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, the Holy Rujiner. He was a very holy man, very pious man, lived in Russia. And he says, I'm going to go travel to my Rebbe and ask him what to do. Maybe my Rebbe is going to guide me. And his Rebbe, who was, had Ruach HaKodesh, had divine prophecy, was able to see things. So as he's walking, he walks into his Rebbe's room, knocks on the door, opens the door, walks over the threshold, and he hears his Rebbe voice going like this. My darling, my dear, God is alive. And he has what to give, and he gave. Go enjoy your money. In other words, you're right. When you didn't want to go visit your uncle, and you said, my uncle, who said he's alive, maybe he's dead, and if he's alive, who says he has money? And if he has money, who says he wants to give? But Hashem is alive, definitely. And he has what to give, definitely. And he wants to give, definitely. And he gave. And this story, which is one of my favorite stories ever, just so, so deep. Doesn't mean that person just has to sit on their laurels and not work. That's not the message of the story. But the message of the story is to refocus faith as a foundation of our life. It's not a side hustle. It's not something that we only remember when, unfortunately, a relative of ours is in the hospital or when there's a crisis and we suddenly start getting WhatsApp, say tillim, say tillim, say tillim. That's nice, it's important, but that's not what bitachon is. Bitachon is a daily exercise in the good days and the bad days, in the challenging moments and the moments of clarity and the moments of confusion, this deep belief and anchor that God is alive and God has what to give and God can give. And my job is to tap into that. My job is to connect. And that truly is a life-changing attitude. This is 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Happy Days. Oh, another great song here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
Living on this earth with faith is a huge, huge challenge. Why? Because it's much easier to think that we're in control. It's much easier to avoid the big question. And some will say more logical. What do you mean faith? What do I have faith? The God? Who's God? What's God? Do Do I believe? Do I not believe? And the point of this show is not really to convince anybody about God. I mean, sometimes there is. Sometimes that is the topic, but definitely not. That's not where my intention is to go today. But rather, for those who already do believe in God, capitalize on it, right? A lot of us believe in God, but we don't actually reap the benefits of believing in God. And one of the benefits of believing in God is knowing that someone's in control and it's not me, right? That life has meaning, life has purpose, but also that life is in there's someone in control. Because when you believe in God, you means that you don't just believe that God created, but rather he's creating. It's a current, constantly, as we say in the Shacharis, in the morning prayers, each morning. Hashem renews the creation every single day, constantly. It's a constant creation, and physics has proven that this world is constantly bubbling into existence. It's constant creation. Every single second, every split second that we're together, that we're, you know, talking to you through the radio, that you're listening through the radio, this world is literally coming into existence from new. And that means that the creator is very involved. And our job is to tap into that. Our job is to, at least one of our jobs, is to believe, to walk in this world, do what we have to do, but with a deep sense of meaning, purpose, and faith in a much bigger plan that's much bigger than us. And when a person lives like that, they have a deep sense of serenity. I think a lot of the anxiety that so many of us are feeling, a lot of the stress, is this feeling that the world's out of control and I'm out of control and I don't know what's going on, etc. And always waiting for the other shoe to drop, always waiting for the worst case scenario, always planning for the worst case scenario. You know, it's a terrible way to live. It's a terrible way to live. It really is. It's a terrible way to live. I mean, the worst case scenario is death. And until Mashiach comes, that's an inevitable part. Every single person that's ever lived before us has passed away. So like, we're almost like trying to cheat death and trying to cheat the worst case scenario instead of saying, one second, God gave you a limited amount of time. As we say every Shabbos morning, it says in Tehillim, Yemeshnei Seinu Behem Shivim Shana, we get to live on this earth 70 years, if we're lucky 80 years, etc. But then the goal is, what do you fill it with? But so many of us are trying to cheat the future, trying to avoid the future, trying to stress about the future instead of actually just, the future is God's control. You have to do what you have to do. Yes, you have to be responsible. You save for the future. No one's saying be reckless, but so many people, like, they live an imbalanced life where basically 90% of their headspace is stressing about the future and how things are going to play out and what's going to happen. And the truth is, none of us have a clue what the future holds. And we've spoken about this previously on the show. Like, I mean, even the fact that we just swore in a government that 6 months ago, it was a fantasy. When I told people 6 months ago that I hope that it will be a shared government with the ANC, the DA, and other small parties, I remember telling them, someone said, Rabbi, you're smoking your socks. I've never tried it, but it's smoking their socks, right? You don't know what you're talking about, Rabbi. First of all, right, this person obviously knew the future. So as he says, first of all, the ANC will get more than 50%. Second of all, there's no way the ANC is going to partner with the DA. How do you know? Because I know. They're definitely going to partner with the EFF. Okay, mazel tov. Has anyone walked over and said, you know what? Actually, the best case scenario did play out. That when people still kvetch, I was talking to someone yesterday and he was saying, yes, Rabbi, but still we don't know how it's going to play out. I said, 100%, I don't know how it's going to play out. But can you at least admit that as of now, the best case scenario for where South Africa is at has played out? Yes, there's a lot of fixing to do. Yes, there's been decades long of damage to so many institutions. Yes, there was so many issues. Agree. But can you at least admit that right now, based on the circumstances we're in, we got the best case? He says, of course. Well, at least he was honest to say that. How many people are being honest? Because now we have to stress about the future. Thank God load shedding is no longer an issue for most of us. I don't see anybody feeling any more joy. Where's the joy, people? No, because now we have to stress about the new thing. How's this going to work out? How long till the government? We're going back. It's like this obsession with nihilism. It's like, oh, unbearable. It's actually unbearable. horrible, destructive way to live. And fundamentally, when a person lives in faith and they believe that I'm not in control, God's in control, and the truth is, I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, even look what happened with America last week. It's not a political show, but it's still a great example with that debate. Okay, and I'm not here to say if I vote for Trump or I'm an American, Trump or Biden, that's not the point. Point is, the fellow had a really bad night, right? And now almost the whole Democratic Party is jumping up on him and trying to get him to stand up. Do I know what's going to happen? No. But a week ago, could I have predicted it? No. I can't predict anything. I have no idea what's happening. A few weeks ago, we had an Iranian president helicopter fall out of the sky. There's the good stuff and there's even the hard stuff, the October 7th, etc. None of us can predict, and yet we are obsessed with predicting instead of being obsessed with living. Hashem, what do you want of me today? Not what you want of me in 10 years' time. I have no idea what's going to be in 10 years' time. I literally have no idea. In 10 years' time, maybe all the rabbis in this town will be AI. Just kidding, but who knows? Maybe I'm not kidding, right? There'll be a bunch of robots getting up and giving well-crafted sermons that they're going to be able to dig up on the internet based on the best sermons that have ever been given. You'll tell the AI rabbi to give a 6-minute, 20-second drasha based on the parsha of the week with a cute story, a cute joke, and some self-deprecating humor. And the AI is going to do a much better job than us, and we're all going to be fired because the AI is going to be very dirt cheap, and the AI is going to start doing funerals. Who knows? I don't know. Cares about the future so much. What does Hashem want of me today? Right? The Talmud says, return to Hashem, Shuv Yom Echal Lefnei Misasach, return to Hashem the day before you die. And we say, how do you know when you're going to die? And he says, you don't know. That's why you should do Tshuva today. And the message of that is not this nihilistic approach that Oyvei death is coming, but rather live today. Today is the only day that matters right now. Yes, you could spend a bit of time to think about the future. You sit with your financial investor every few months and you plan how you're going to retire. But other than that, live now. Do I know what's going to happen? Do I know how things are going to play out? I don't have a clue. That's not my job. I wasn't born to be a prophet, and neither were you. Your job is not to become a political analyst and try to figure out, because the truth is even the political analysts have no idea what they're talking about. Job's just to live, to be a good person today, to be the best parent I could be today, to be the best husband I could be today, to be the best person, best human, best boss, best employee, do as much as I can today, and then tomorrow show up and do tomorrow. Every day has its way of serving God. Every day has its mandate, its calling, its purpose, its moment. And that's all that matters. You'd think, after 7 decades of obsession of getting out of this country and who knows what's happening next, finally we got a unity government without a single drop of blood. This is almost unheard of in any other country in the world. The transition to democracy, yes, it hasn't been seamless, but it hasn't been nearly as bad as it could be. And no, we did not even go close to the way of Zimbabwe. Can we at least enjoy it? Shouldn't we be dancing on the streets? This country is a miracle. No, Rabbi. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. You have an American passport. It's still going to be worse. I'm telling you, it's going to be worse. I said it last week, and I'll repeat. It feels like a cult that was told that Armageddon is coming and the world's coming to an end. And they chose a date. And then the date didn't come, so they choose a new date, right? So Y2K, the world was supposed to come to an end. If it didn't come in Y2K, then it was 2001. If it's not 2001, it's 2004, right? South Africa has to come to an end, say the nihilists. Just a question of when. Okay, it didn't come because of load shedding. Fine, it's going to come because of the ICJ. Fine, it didn't come because of that. It's going to come because of this new unity. It's going to come. Sounds like a cult obsessed with a doomsday scenario. Instead of saying, I don't know what I'm doing. Let me just live. Let me just live. We are blessed to be in this country. We are blessed to live this beautiful weather. It's the 2nd of July. The weather is stunning outside. We should be dancing in the streets. Instead, we're kvetching. Why? This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Linksfield Shul, and today we're talking about faith and trust, believing that someone's in control of what's going on and it ain't me. And the deep serenity that comes when somebody knows, right, that someone's in control. I'll give you an example, right? You show up to a function, and you're at a function that just feels like no one knows what's going on, who's going, who's coming, what the program is. I've been at such functions before. It's very unsettling. If you're aware of it, and you just feel like no one's in control. Then you show up to another function, and there's an event coordinator, and you know that they're good at what they do. So even if for a moment it feels like this chaos, you actually know it's planned chaos because someone's in control and someone knows exactly what's supposed to happen when. How much more so in life? When you feel that the world is just random, that nobody's directing the course of reality and that the world's not heading anywhere, it's not coming from anywhere, it's literally man-eat-dog universe, everybody's just trying to survive, it's chaos, etc., then you develop incredible amount of anxiety because, what do you mean? I just signed up for a nice, peaceful life. This is not what I signed up for. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's coming. That's why faith in Hashem, especially in chaotic times, is such an anchor. It's so settling. It's like this deep, this world has a Yesh Bala Bayis Labiruza, this world has someone that's in charge. There's a being that is managing the world. There's a being that is this world. Right? When we cover our eyes in the morning and the night and we say the words Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hear, O Israel, our God is one. What do you mean one? As in, that's the only thing. There's nothing else, right? The word Echad, one, is this three letters, Aleph, Chet, Dalet. Aleph is one God, Chet in the seven heavens and on earth, and Dalet, the four directions. In other words, there's one God everywhere, all dimensions. There's one creator who's everything. Everything is God. And that means that there's somebody who's in charge. It's not chaos. It's not the Wild West. It's not just the anarchy. The world isn't anarchy, even if it sometimes feels like a part of it is anarchic. But it's fundamentally, it cannot be anarchy because God's running it. There's intention in everything. And that's why people of great faith are people who can live with serenity. How we manage our stress and anxiety says so much about our faith. Doesn't mean we don't have any stress, we don't have anxiety. I mean, it's a nice ideal. But fundamentally, we are human. The goal is not to be human, but the goal is to manage it better. The goal is to have meditations and ideas and perspectives that could calm us down when it's chaos, when it feels like things are in our lives are just not coping. And you're like, I am exactly where I need to be right now. This was designed for me. Hashem designed my life for me. And yes, there's challenges. And yes, there's stuff in my life that I have to fix up. There's stuff in my life that are messy, that are complicated, that are tragic even. But I could own this. I could own this. And I can fix what I could fix. But this is where I need to be. This is not plan B. This is plan A. Now all I have to do is what's within my control, within my free choice, to make the best of the scenario, to fulfill my purpose, to play the part that Hashem intended for me. But I am where I need to be, rather than constantly second-guessing, constantly stressing, and constantly preparing for a future that never unfolds the way I think it will unfold anyway. And when I live like this, then I could find serenity and comfort and joy in small things. As I realize every moment of life is a gift. Even a crazy life is still a gift. The hardest moment of our life is still better than death. because I could still change. I could still change. I heard this thought, I think I shared a few weeks ago on the show, about this rabbi that one time got up and he said that yes, there were incredible rabbis that lived before us and great sages and great leaders, but one thing they have in common is they're no longer on this planet and they can no longer change. Whatever level they achieved, but that's it. They passed away, their journey was over, but we're still alive. We have something they never had. We are still alive. And I don't think we cherish that too much. I think like that we've, not all of us, but many of us have lost the respect for the majesty of life. We only respect life when it's beautiful, when it's pleasant, when it's on a beach in Mauritius. But when life is stressful, we start second guessing what's the point of it. We talk about things like quality of life and purpose of life. And really, is this the whole point? And it's so stressful and shame, poor fellow, look how hard their life is. A hard life is not ideal, but it is so much better than the opposite, which is death. We say this every morning in davening. Every moment that my soul is still within me, every moment that I'm breathing, I'll call neshima, neshima. Every breath I'm thanking Hashem because I realize, yes, life is sometimes really gets difficult and really stressful and pushes every button. But this is the gift of life. This is the challenge of life. And because I have faith and I know that my life was designed by a creator who's timeless, a creator who was here before I showed up and will be here long after I'm gone, I could be calm. There's a plan. And there's meaning. There's meaning to what I'm going through. It's not just that the plan will eventually unfold in the future. Right now, what I'm going through is meaningful. We've given the analogy before, right? Someone walks over to you and punches you in the tooth and knocks your tooth out. You're going to be really irritated. But then, on the other hand, you will go to the dentist. And if you have an issue with your tooth, you'll let the dentist take your tooth out. You'll allow yourself to be tortured for an hour and a half under that light. And then you're going to pay the dentist whatever he charges, and you're going to say, thank you. What's the difference between the two? Because the first time when someone punched your tooth out, it felt meaningless. And by the dentist, it was meaningful. You knew you're doing this for your own health, etc. So even though it's horrible, it's meaningful. We can go through so much hardship in our life, but if it's meaningful, we can endure. If it's meaningless, if we see life as only good if it's pleasant, but challenges are a malfunction. They're meaningless. It's random. It's painful. It's unfair. I will not thrive in my life. I won't thrive. I'll be resentful. That's why believing in God literally changes your perspective. Not saying I believe in God. A lot of people in this world say they believe in God, but working on our faith, really, really, the word emunah, faith in Hebrew, also is the same word as going to exercise, lit amen, to exercise, because faith is an exercise. It's exercising that muscle that says there is intention, there is a design, there's a designer. What I'm going through is not meaningless. It's not pointless. It has incredible meaning. And therefore, we could go through really tough days, but we know it's there to refine our character. It's there to make this world a better place, whatever design and whatever intention we want to give it. But because I know that there is a creator who creates everything with intention, I can breathe. I can breathe through the hard time because I know God is with me. Even if I'm going in the valley of shadow of death, I do not fear because God, you are with me, King David says in Tehillim chapter 23. We have so much to tap into. I imagine that most of us listening to the show, that are, you know, most of us here, we're believing people, but are we tapping into that? We have $1 billion in the bank, but we're not tapping into it. Faith is much greater than $1 billion. I'm just using an analogy, but imagine you have $1 billion in the bank and you're still living like a stingy person, literally a shack, and you're not enjoying anything, and you're eating bread and water. It's sad. It's sad. You have the gift. Enjoy it. Don't splurge. Don't be spoiled, but enjoy it. How much more so when a person has the gift of faith? You believe in God, so reap the benefits. Live with serenity. Live with calmness. That's the benefit. That's the upside. That's the incredible gift of faith. So here we are. Time to wrap up the show. I want to thank Craig, and I want to thank Chai FM for the opportunity each week to be able to engage. Again, 34519 is our number if you want to get a message over. It could always be sent over after the show. I want to finish off the show with a beautiful song. It's in Yiddish, but I'll give you the context. There was the Munkacher Rebbe. He lived before World War II, and one time he was asked to give a message to the American Jews. And he gave a message, says, Tide Yidden America hit Shabbos vetach good sign. My dear Jews in America, keep Shabbos, it will be good for you. And I decided to finish the show with this message because I really believe that one of the greatest gifts of serenity in our lives, especially with chaos, is Shabbos. I often tell my community, even if you're not ready to keep Shabbos, you still need to drive, whatever, that's your journey. But put the phone away and put the TV away for 25 hours every week and just start living. We need serenity in our life, and it's our goal to bring Hashem into our life, to take away distractions and live in peace. This is 101.9 IFM. Have a great day.